Hey Alexa, what's the definition of hustle?
To be aggressive, especially in business or other financial dealings.
You're listening to the H for Hustle podcast, designed to inspire future entrepreneurs to take the leap from working for someone else to pursue their passions and side hustles and turning them into full-fledged businesses. My name is Jerome Fenton. I'm a serial entrepreneur. Every week, I'll be speaking with an entrepreneur that has taken that leap. We'll be talking about the lessons they've learned and how they've turned their passions and side hustles into full-fledged businesses. H for Hustle Podcast, welcome back. Another illustrious episode up ahead. And today's episode, guys, we're going to talk about business plans. But before we get into business plans, I just want to say, whatever app that you're listening to this on, please like, please subscribe, please leave comments. If you're on iTunes or Apple Music, please leave comments, leave reviews of what you think of the podcast. It really helps the podcast grow. I don't ask you guys for much. These are the things that I ask for, so please leave a review. Now, like I said, we're going to talk about business plans, and I actually been working on H4 Hustle business plan and also another business plan that I'm currently working on, and I actually went back and listened to one of our older guests, Brian Wick. Brian Wick is the founder of two different companies, on the HVA system and a plumbing company out in Cleveland, Ohio. And Brian does his business planning every year for his business. And I had a great chance during this interview to ask him, what does he look for in his business plan? And he broke it down, and this helped me out tremendously. So I was like, you know what? If it helped me, it can definitely help you. And I know not everybody heard this Brian Wick episode. If you want, you guys can go back, look for Brian Wick. It's a two-part podcast. They're both an hour each. So I synthesized it down just to the good stuff. So let's get into it right now. Boom. Let's say someone's at they hired 3-4 people, right? They're at this 3-4 people mark. They're slowly delegating everything. People are doing their tasks, but they're still kind of over them. What was a thing or a tool that you used to then help you like rocket ship that 4 to like, 40 or 50? What were some of the tools that you used along the way?
So the first thing we did was we got a business plan together, and we got an org chart. And okay. But the biggest thing you got to do is you got to have a business plan, and you got to have a roadmap for all your employees.
When you say business plan, are you talking about those big formal business plans that you do? You know, you might take a software to fill out. It's like 300 pages.
Are you talking about that? So I have mine right here because I keep it with me all the time. Okay. This is it. This is actually 2 years worth of business plan for all of our companies. This is it.
Got it. So people who aren't watching, is he has like a spiral notebook with maybe 50 to 60 pages.
Yeah, inch and a half total. Yeah. And it's 2 years worth of business plans, plus other stuff I've stuck in here that was pertinent throughout the year.
You say a business plan, are you planning like each aspect of it? So you said an org chart. So are you writing down on the org chart who's reporting into you? And then?
Yep. Yeah. That way everybody knows exactly who's flows to who. There's no questions at that point. And it can be pretty fluid.
So Brian, I have to ask, what's the power off an org chart? I know my audience is saying that's like, what's so special about writing an org chart? What does that do?
Well, it does a couple things I discovered. And one of them I didn't really realize until after the fact, because I kind of fought the org chart tooth and nail myself. I was like probably a lot of your audience. Everybody knows what they got to do. Everybody knows who to talk to. But what I found out was that people really don't. They think they do. And especially as you start to grow to scale, it becomes more and more important that they understand the flow of who they go to. And the thing that I discovered that I was not expecting is people really like to see their name on the wall. And I'll tell you what, and once we got it on there, and like, God forbid your name got moved or something by accident, or somebody was, playing a joke on you and moved you suddenly from the general manager to the janitor. Not that there's anything wrong with a janitor, but I'm just saying, people got pretty bent about that, and people started to take pride in that. And then it also gave, as that org chart grew and it gained branches and leaves off of it, people then just figured out their path of how they can move forward and where they can keep going. They can see the roadmap, physically see the roadmap. It's like pulling out a old Rand McNally book, right? And you can go, this is how I get to California.
Got it. Because if they start off as a janitor, they're saying, all right, this is the custodial manager. Maybe I can be him. That custodial manager became this guy. Yeah. And then they could see their way through.
Yeah. In our main location, my org chart is huge and it's all my locations. And it comes down, it's, you know, the myself and the other shareholders, and then my general managers and operations managers and supervisors and field managers and office managers and admin managers and HR. And it just and every single person in my entire organization in all my stores are all on one big org chart.
Mm-hmm.
And I do them color coded so you can see like which one is for which, you know, lines of business.
Yeah,
but you
so can, which one's administrative, which one's sales, stuff like
that. Which one's HVAC, which one's plumbing, which one's LMI, which one is, you know, there's different things that we do. So.
Got it. Okay. So then once you had the org chart, you have your four guys on the org chart, all of them reporting to you right now, right? Let's say we're going through the situation. What's next? What's in that binder that you would say a person should have next?
So the next thing we do after we get the org chart is we do job descriptions. And when we do job descriptions, and to this day, I do job descriptions the same way. I have all my employees write their own job descriptions.
Why is that?
Because I want them to write down what they do, because you know what? They do things that I don't even know about. Mm-hmm. So then what I'll do is after they write their job descriptions, I'll sit down with that department and I'll find the holes or the things that they missed. And we'll go, oh, I didn't think about this or I didn't think about that. Next thing you know, they're like, oh, I can do that or I can do this or I can do that. And then you get people starting to buy into their position. And then again, it ties back to that whole accountability, and I know what I'm responsible for. I know who I report to. I know how this thing is going to start to flow. So then the engine starts to turn because people are starting to understand the bigger picture of I'm more than just coming in and answering the phone. Because a lot of people, they may feel that way, and that's a shame. They may feel like, hey, I just answer the phones here. You know, I mean, you've probably talked to people like that and said, well, what do you do here? Oh, I just answer the phones.
Yeah. And I always tell them, I'm like, you're the first line of defense. You're the first thing a customer hears. You're the reason why business comes through the door.
I tell our CSRs all the time. I said, you are probably the most important person in our entire company.
Yeah. Cause you're the first impression that they ever get of this business.
They're the people that when somebody calls in, they associate that name and voice with my company. They don't know me. You know, I mean, I've been out of the field for 10 years. You know, they don't know me anymore. So, but that they know Dawn, Monica, Liz, and Cheyenne, and Laura.
Yeah. And because those are the first voices they hear. And that's when they call back, that's also the person they're calling to speak to.
And it's funny because we have some clients that only want to talk to certain CSRs because that's the person, you know, and that's great. Okay, you know, I mean, they've built a relationship over the last 10 years.
So once they write their description now, they know what their job is, and then you fill in all the other blanks so they know what that is. What's next after that in that binder?
So this is where the fun part happens. We start to build a budget, and the budget will really start to be, you know, you can start to write in some top line goals for sales, and you can start to write in your cost of goods. You can start to write in what your gross margin is going to be. What are you trying to shoot for? Put in your overhead expenses to see if this whole plan will work. Because that's you can spend a lot of time doing all fancy org charts and job descriptions, but if none of it flows to profit at the bottom, then who cares, right?
What's the point?
What's the point?
So when you're doing the budget, are you doing that in a silo outside of your employees or just like your direct managers that roll into you?
So my operations managers put together the budgets for their line of business and submit them over to myself. We approve them. We try to blow holes in them, say, what about this? What about that? And, they always do a good job. It's usually more of us just picking on them than anything. But they do a really good job. But then what we do is we take that budget to our entire team. Every single person. We have a budgeting meeting and we lay it out, and I do it as a training course, not only of just, hey guys, this is what we're shooting for, blah, blah, blah. Because what do they care? They're like, you know, we do have a lot of employees, thankfully, that have been with me so long, they care. And they really have a lot of buy-in. But there was a time that wasn't the case. And we use it as a training opportunity. And what I mean by training opportunity is, you know, how many of your field level people understand what gross margin is?
Very little.
I found like none. And so I had a training opportunity, right?
Yeah. So you get to teach everybody what that is. So when you're saying budget, is it budget for what that department's allocated in making or budget based on what that department has allocated to spend?
Both. It's a dance, you know, it's really a dance. So you know, we'll have times where we'll kind of go back and forth trying to figure out that line in the sand. Because there are only so much many resources, but we know we want to grow on this side of it. And we have expectations that we can grow 10% on the top line. So what does that mean to the bottom? What can we do with that money? Can we expand? Is it time for new furniture? Do we put another truck on the road? What's our call volume? You know, all those things go into that.
Yeah. Are we spending enough money on marketing, stuff like that?
Right. Got it. Because I remember the first times I ever did a budget, and this is going back, you know, a million years ago, it was funny how, like, I thought that I was pretty dialed in. We all did. And then we put it on paper and we're like, well, no wonder we're really only making a couple percent after everything is said and done, you know, because we had no controls on our spending. It was just, all right, well, this bill came in, pay it. You know, there was really no controls and we didn't have any expectations and we weren't measuring it on a monthly basis. Like every single month we get a P&L, we get a month for that month, and then we get a year to date and we compare it to budget to see how we did. Cause then we can just push. Now we can start.
You can push into it. When you get everybody in it and you do everybody involved, all hands on deck, you're making it like, hey, this is what your department's responsible for, allocated to getting and doing. Do you see yourself getting more of a buy-in from people with that? They're like, okay, maybe we're doing too much spending here, or maybe you start seeing them do the cutbacks that they think they're doing, or if they realize that they didn't spend on resources this year, it's like, oh, maybe we should get that new add-on to the truck, that new GPS that the guys have been complaining about, stuff like that. So is that what you kind of see?
Yeah. So we get in there and we just start to go, this is at the top. This is how much it costs for the equipment. This is what labor costs. This is all your direct costs. And then this is what your gross margin is. This is what a gross margin means. And we go through that whole process. Now we get into things called overhead. Has anybody ever heard of overhead? Oh yeah. Yeah. Everybody's heard of overhead. Do you know what is entailed in overhead?
Yeah.
Crickets. You know, then you start to go with things like lights, the vehicles, rent, insurance, all those things. And then we go all the way to the bottom and this is what's left over. We've actually even done an exercise where we've taken money, you know, and said, okay, that, like, here's $100. Okay. Of that $100, 60% of that right off the bat is just going to pay for the equipment, the labor, and everything else. At least $40 left over. Of that $40, now we got to pay your insurance, the fuel, the vehicle, blah, 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 blah. And time it's all said and done, out of that $100, you're left with $7.
That's your profit.
That's it. And, you know, and we've done that exercise a handful of times with our people, because every once in a while, people will get like, oh man, everybody's making so much money. I need a raise, blah, 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 blah. And yeah, I'm not saying you don't, but let's break it down. You know, this is the reality. You know, $5,000 that you brought in is so much appreciated. But after everything is paid, I got $200 left.
Yeah. And that $200 is just a drop in the bucket. And right. we need seven of those $5,000 that you just brought in to actually even think about putting a raise in your pocket. You know?
Correct. And that those little teaching opportunities are really, really good. But when we do the budgeting, you know, we go right down through every department, and we actually even empower the operations manager from each of those lines of business to discuss in front of the whole team. It's everybody. And we just go right down the list. And then when we give a business plan out, we even give them a copy of the budget. It's got everything in there. We are ridiculously transparent. And I think that's important. I think everybody needs to know exactly where everything's going.
Yeah, because this transparency that you're giving reminds me of like an annual shareholders meeting, right? Mm-hmm. Like when you buy enough stocks, you're a part of the shareholders meetings, and you realize like, oh, wow. When you start really looking at the annual report, you're like, man, a lot of this company spends on X, or a lot of it is brought down to this. And you're like, oh, that's why my dividend shares weren't so high this year. Because so if you look at your employees as stockholders within your business, they can start seeing where the actual revenue is going. Now, if everyone has a kick-ass year and everyone did great, now everyone's Christmas bonus should look good, right?
Right. We actually have in our business plan, we have a formula for that that just says, you get to hear, this is what you get. You get to hear, this is what you get. You get to hear, this is what you get. And we spell it out. It's all very, very black and white. So it's funny, like toward the end of the year, people really become dialed in on all this. And you know, that November, December, everybody's asking about where are we at, where are we at, where are we at, you know? And it's always fun to go, man, we're right there, or we're there, or, you know, or like last year, one of our locations had a really great year and they knew they were getting something. And I told them, I'm like, you're there. You've already hit the matrixes. It's just how much can you keep stacking away to put in your pocket at this point?
Like, and at this point, we're robbing the bank now, right?
Right. Yeah. My guys loved that theory. I mean, it was just take my money, you know, and it was great.
But that's awesome, though, when they could feel like they're a part of it and also they are contributing and getting the dividends, per se, from the contribution.
Yeah, I think it's really important to have that with your team. You know, it's important for building a team. If you get that buy-in at that level, it becomes easier to sell these visions that you have to continue to grow forward. When you have people that aren't really engaged and they're just there from their 9 to 5 and they're just doing their thing and they're doing a good job, but they're not helping you get to that next level because you as an owner manual haven't been passionate about it. You haven't really gotten excited about it. You haven't shared the vision. You haven't laid out the map. You haven't done all these things. So they're almost just kind of like in a holding pattern going, all right, well, we're going to do great things, but they really don't know how to get there and they don't feel it, you know? And that's an important thing. You gotta feel it.
Got it. Now you make the budget. What's next after the budget?
So in ours, the next thing we did after that was we would do a marketing plan that was surrounding the budget. You know, what are we going to do as far as we do a lot of, internet pay-per-click search engine stuff.
Optimization.
Yeah. I have a guy that does all that. It does all that for me now. And, I honestly don't understand it all that much. I did to a point and then I had to delegate it because I hit my limitation and I realized it. So I had to, you know, kind of move it on to somebody else. And he took that segment of the business and just exploded it. But we have it as a marketing plan of, you know, during these months, these are the things we're going to do. During this shoulder season, we have this campaign. This is what it looks like. Just so, again, everybody knows exactly what the plans are. Now,
got it.
You can change that. Everything is fluid. Your business plan should be a working document. But everybody has a basic outline of exactly where we're going. Now we understand kind of how we're going to get there, how we're going to make the phones ring. And, you know, your marketing plan could be, you know, we know we have X amount of service contracts. And of those service contracts, we know X amount of those are an opportunity for this certain thing. We know those certain things are going to convert at 30% at a $5,000 average ticket. So now we can start to put together, now your marketing plan ties back into your budget. So you can start to see, well, if I do this, I should be able to get this kind of return, which should, give me a 3% boost to my top line, which is going to filter right down to the bottom.
Got it. Okay. That makes a ton of sense. I completely get it. And with sense of the marketing, how much are you allocating to that? Are you doing 10% of overall gross sales or are you doing... Or is it kind of flexible when it changes?
It's flexible. I would say we're probably right around 4 to 5%, somewhere in that neighborhood of total sales goes to marketing.
Okay.
But, you know, like a lot of companies, when they get into growth mode, you know, they'll start spending 10% and that's okay. We've been able to kind of grow our own internally and keep our marketing in check just because we've gotten really good at some grassroots things. My guys have really done a great job of like yard signs. That's something that seems so silly, right? But I tell my guys, I go, every single house you go into, put a yard sign in that yard. Because as people drive by, they're not going to drive by and pick up the phone and go, oh, I saw that yard sign. I got a call right now. That's not what's going to happen. But if they start to see those yard signs every single place they go, they're going to start to think of us as the authority in that segment of business. So now when your hot water tank dies, you're going to go, I got to call that 1 hour company because they're the guys that do that. I got to call Benjamin Franklin because they're the ones that do that. You're going to call that because it's top of mind. It's been drilled into your head. And because you have the perception in the area of being, you're the authority figure because they see your signs everywhere. It worked. And we got really good at the like very, very grassroots types things, which kept our marketing in check, which helped put more money at the bottom, which then in turn, we just reinvested back into the company. And we just kept moving forward.
Got it. Okay. Now after marketing, because again, what I realized for, especially now, I guess with the advent of social media and digital marketing, I think sometimes new owners spend a ton of money or a ton of time thinking about marketing, you know, and I just don't know if marketing always directly becomes sales, you know, so.
So here's the thing, I'm going to give you a tip. So marketing can be really easy in the day of social media, especially for an owner, if you have a good online presence. And what I mean by that is, don't be a freaking internet troll and then expect people to buy your services. I just don't get that. Like, I can't tell you how many companies that we've worked with where I'm like, the owner is posting stuff. And I'm like, stop. What are you doing? If anybody sees that, they're never going to call you, you know? And, I've spent a long time really building, keeping my social media very clean. Yeah. And it's just boggles my mind how these, some owners go out there and they just like, what in the world are you doing?
Yeah. They're fighting with people.
I get it, man. I get it, but you can't have it both ways.
That's a very good piece of advice, guys. Yeah. Only talk about what you want people to talk to you about. Don't go on there and start talking about things that you don't want to have people associating with your business or with your brand. So think about that.
For sure.
Now, after marketing, what is the next thing that you do?
One of my favorites, training. Training plans. So, and you know, I will, like right now, I just scheduled training for next month. I have doing sales training every Wednesday for the next 4 or 5 weeks, I think it is. I got some one-on-one trainings in there with some of my people that I see something in them and I want to go facilitate that spark. I really want to just really get them over that hump or get them to that next level. So I'm doing some one-on-one stuff and we do it all via Zoom. You know, this is my office. This is where I spend most of my days and I'll get, you know, young Jake on the Zoom and we'll do a 20-minute session and we'll, and I have it very, very detailed and planned. We have an agenda. This is the things we're covering. This is the goals. You know, we talk about goal setting. You know, that was the number one training. We just had ours and we talked about goal setting. You know, we talked about the SMART system, specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, tangible. So then we identified some specific goals. We made sure that they fit into the SMART system. And one of the things that we're working with him on is relationship building. How to have chit-chat, you know, how to make friends. And so we're spending... going to spend the next 4 weeks on form, which is family, occupation, recreational materials, and material possession. Mm-hmm. So we're just going to go over those things. So this week, his assignment is to go out there and start to get on first name basis with people. I told him, I said, everywhere you go, when you go to lunch to Taco Bell today, I want you to get on a first name basis with the lady in the drive-through speaker. And he's like, what? I'm like, no, seriously. And we role played it. And he's like, okay, I can do that. I go, all right. That's your everywhere you go. I want you to get on a first name basis. Yeah, I mean, some of the things like we'll train on, like all the things I train on anymore are specifically customer service and relationship building. Mm-hmm. My operations managers will spend time on the nuts and bolts and like how to check capacitors, contactors, you know, all that stuff, right? But what most in my industry, most of the technicians, they don't have those soft skills. They have the mechanical skills, but they lack the soft skills. And everything we do is residential. So, I always say like, when at the end of a meeting, it's time to go make friends today. If you can make a friend with somebody and they like and trust you, they're ultimately going to take your recommendations because people buy from people they like and trust, period. So we, in our industry, it's not uncommon for like a service technician to get 9 to 11 calls a day. Go fix it, get on to the next one, right? And we only give our technicians 3 calls a day. That's it. That's all you're getting. And a lot of, when we hire people like they freak out. They're like, how am I ever going to make a living on that? And I've proven it over and over and over again in my businesses, other people's businesses, businesses I've worked with. If you go in there and you spend the time and they like and they trust you and they want to give you cookies and they want to sit down and talk to you and tell you about their day, go for it. spend, you know, if you're not spending a minimum of 90 minutes in a house, you're not doing it right. You're just not.
Yeah, because your upsell capabilities are so much higher at that point, because now they're like, they build friends with you and you say, hey, listen, you got to get this flux capacitor because right. this is what you need. It's like, how much is that? And be like, yeah, I know it's a little pricey, but here's the reason why you need it. And here's the reason why you only have to buy it one time or
right.
buy it one time in the next 20 years. And once we install it right. The person's going to be like, you know what? This guy's he's knowledgeable. He's friendly. He's talking to me, not selling me. He's talking to me as a friend. You know what? Let's go for it. Like, add it on or lock me onto whatever service that we got to do every single month or whatever the thing is.
Right.
You're 100% right.
Yeah.
Because you might not need volume, but you can upsell within the three visits that you have. You
know? Right. It's all about that like and trust and spending that time. Yeah. And here's the other thing. A lot of our customers that we'll go to, they may be a widow, and we're the first person they've talked to in a month.
Got it.
And they just want to talk. And
yeah.
We just want, we'll give them that. We'll give them that platform. And because if I've proven it over and over again, if you spend the time with the people, the average ticket comes up way beyond what you could ever do running 9 to 11 calls. Plus, I don't have the fuel involved. I don't have the wear and tear on the vehicles. I got happier technicians. They're not being run into the ground.
I can hear my audience saying, like, training. When do I have time to train? I got four guys, right? I got four guys, got to run a business. Training, like, they should know what they should know. How do you factor in training? And what should you, like people think about it all the time. And I really tell people there's a lack of training within every company. The big ones, small ones, there's always a lack of training. So how do you say someone should factor in that time? They got a very small crew. What should they be training on? And how should they sacrifice their time to go train somebody?
So when we first started out, we trained every day for an hour. And that was because we were really just getting everybody up to speed. And I had such a passion for making sure that we were doing the right things in the house that every single day I wanted my message delivered of who we were. And it's since we've been able to back off of that to maybe once a week, sometimes twice a week. It just depends on what we're really needing. But we always talk about that customer experience. And we just make sure that we budget the time. Now, since COVID came through, we were able to reimagine it. We used to have everybody come in, and then it would take forever to get everybody in the room, and everybody's got donuts, and everybody's got to go to the bathroom, and then you're wasting half their time on that. Now we just log in. Wherever you're at, if you're driving somewhere, pull over, 20 minutes. We'll knock out a whole training session in 20, 30 minutes that you can do while you're having your coffee sitting at the local gas station, or wait, or sit in your living room and do it. I don't care. You know, and we'll go through the training. We've been way more productive doing it that way. Way more.
Got it. Because in the beginning, are you training everybody on everything? Or are you training them on specific? So are you like, I know there's a person who goes out and does service and there's a person who admins, but I'm teaching everybody sales today. Were you doing that in the beginning?
So in the beginning, it was more about just the core values of the company and who we are. And, you know, where do we stand? And what are our guarantees? What's our value proposition? And it was just building that so that everybody knew who we were. Because a lot of companies, right, they never know who they're really going to be. They don't know who they're going to be when they grow up. They're just going to be something. And we'll figure it out as we go there. And I didn't want that. I said, this is who we are. This is where we stand. This is it. And we trained on that initially. And once everybody got an understanding of who we were as a company, as a family, then we could start to go, okay, so now we're going to talk about sales. We'll talk about how that works. And with the sales, sales was everybody actually, because everybody in our company, you're selling in some capacity, whether you're selling your service over the phone or you're selling in the home, you're still selling. It's still the same principles. It's still the same five questions that have to be answered for any transaction to happen. It's still that the pyramid of sales, which I'm sure you and your audience have all heard of. If you haven't, seek it out. There's a million YouTube videos on it. But those things, you know, we would train on those because a lot of people never really heard of those things. And you take habit of service, the five questions that have to be answered in the pyramid, you put those three things together and everybody understands how they go together, how they fit, how those three pieces of the puzzle all intertwine, and you can do anything. I'm convinced you can do anything in this world that you put your mind to. If you're passionate about it, you take those three things, those three ingredients, and you will be successful as long as you are passionate about it. I truly believe that.
That's a very good tip. So guys, every week, think about the training. I was actually having this conversation with a friend of mine who's saying that he doesn't know if this employee is going to work out. And I was like, you know, how much training did you train her? Is she trained? Does she know what she's supposed to be doing? And he's like, I mean, I'm expecting her to know what she's supposed to do. I'm like, what? Yeah, she's coming with someone else's system in your business. You're not teaching her the system of your business. And he was like, ah, man, just more work I got to do. And I'm like, yeah.
Anytime that you have an employee that you're on the fence about, the first thing you need to go do is go in the bathroom, lock the door, look in the mirror and go, did I give that person every tool to succeed?
And the answer is usually no.
And guess what? Got to go back out of the bathroom and go fix that. Because guess who the problem is? It's you, buddy.
You.
It's not the employee. It's you. Yeah.
Tough pill to swallow, though.
Yeah.
So after you go through training, what's next on your business plan?
So the last thing is, besides just some nuts and bolts of how commissions and spiffs work, but the last thing is team goals. And this is where we start to talk about what do you want to accomplish this year? We talked a lot about me and how we're going to put this plan and how it all fits together. But what do you want to do? Do you want to start to sell indoor air quality? Do you want to learn how to do tankless water heaters? Do you want to learn customer service skills? Do you want to go buy a new house? Do you want a new car? Do you want to start a family? There's a million different things, right? So I'll have everybody write
them. What if their goals don't align with your business? Do you still help them to get there?
Yeah. Yeah, I would help them. I mean, it's their goal, not mine.
Got it.
I would give them whatever resources it was. I mean, if it were like, my goal is, well, no, I can't even say that. We had a guy who his goal was to go start his own company. And he just left me that not too long ago to go start his own company. And he told me that. I knew when we hired him that he was going to leave me at some point.
Got it. And you were fine with that. And you,
I helped him get there.
Helped him. Got it.
And now he's my competition. And that's okay. I'm okay.
It's okay. Now I just have to squash you. No,
yeah.
I'm just joking.
No, but it's good for the whole industry, you know? And yeah. I can have more people out there that are highly trained, priced right. That's good for our whole industry.
Yeah, yeah. Because then he's not coming in with this lowball effect, right? He's coming in with your standards in mind, you know?
Right. So I've had a guy, I hired a guy who was working at Subway, and he was working on like the toaster ovens, the bread makers. Yeah. And we hired him because he went to HVAC school, but really didn't have much experience, but he had a phenomenal attitude. And we hired him, and I turned him into a selling tech, and he did great things for us. He actually worked his way up into operations before he eventually moved on to a different position at another company. I trained him to a point that he was able to go accept the job that I wasn't able to offer him at a point. Great. Awesome. Nice. But I remember when we hired him, his goal was to buy a 65 inch TV. That was it. That was like the goal. Just to put it in perspective, he was like 20. You know, I think he was still living at home and video games were the most important thing in his world, but he wanted like a 65 inch TV. And, I said, all right, this is how we do it. And we spelled it all out of path to get there. And like, you got to do this. And then we blah, 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 blah. And I remember, I was in Tulsa, Oklahoma at the USA BMX Grand Nationals. This was probably 2014 or 15. And he sent me a text on, Thanksgiving, Black Friday. And he was able to go buy his TV. He found it on sale. So he was able to get it early but he was on track to get it. And he was, you've never seen a kid so excited. You never have. And to me, that moment was a huge payoff in my career. The kid went and bought a TV. It wasn't like some earth-shattering thing, but he was so excited. He set a goal and he worked for it. And I helped him do that. And,
now the goal gets bigger the next time. It's instead of a TV, it's like, you know.
It was a car after that. I helped him get a car. Exactly. And then after he got a car, I helped him get a house.
Yeah.
You know, we work together for those goals. And we have some employees that don't really take me up on that, or they'll write goals down, but they don't take it as seriously as I do. And once you write those goals down, if you're committed to doing it, we're gonna get there. You know, and sometimes my employees don't really understand that I'm that passionate and serious about it, but I really am. But, you know, we set goals for all of our people, and, you know, we have them write down 5 goals, and then we start to put a plan to get there. And some of the goals, like, some people don't want to share them. They're personal, you know, and that's fine too. But I'll always say, if they're like, they're a little on the fence about it, I'm like, just pick one thing that I can help you with. Just one thing. And, you know, and we'll go attack it.
I like that a lot, because then it becomes, how can we use what you're doing every day as a vehicle to get you what you want, versus me as your employer. It just looks like I'm trying to suck the blood out of you and ask you for 40 hours a week and drain your life, versus, hey, this is a tool for both you and I to get what we want. How can we do this together to get what we want, right? Now, if you need a new house and you're in sales, maybe that means we need X amount of sales this week or this month or over the, you know, the totality of a year. And we need an average sale size of X and then work towards that. So they're using the job as their vehicle to get the thing that they want versus feeling like the job is using them.
Right. Because most goals are generally money oriented. You know, that's just the way of the world, right?
Yeah. It's usually things or experiences you want to buy.
Yeah. So come to me and let's use this great vehicle that we have called our company that we can all win from. Let's go exploit that. That's what it's there for. It's there to make money. So let's go figure out a way that you can reach your goals, I can reach my goals, and everybody wins.
And just like that, another illustrious episode is in the can. Man, guys, really, this episode really helped me out tremendously, because again, I was writing this business plan. This is something that I was looking to understand, and having Brian break it down was fantastic. And I hope you guys took a lot away from it. Also, the big takeaway I got from this is that he does this every year for his business. He does an org chart and he does a new business plan every year. So every year he has a focus that he's going into the new year with. And that was such a big takeaway for me, because every year you take time out to break down and look at your business in totality. And I really love that. So I hope this helped you guys, because it really helped me. I'm going to wrap it up the way I always wrap it up, guys, from the quote from the late, great Nipsey Hussle. The quote goes, "This game will test you. Never fold. Stay 10 toes down, because it's not on you, it's in you. And what's in you, they can never take away. That's it, guys. Peace. Boom.